Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And I'm very excited, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, we've had... This is the third time we've tried to get Rich on the line, and he's in Iraq. Rich Galen is in Iraq. We've had technical difficulties before, but we've got him with us now. I'm excited about this.
We'd like to say Galen. Between Iraq and a hard place.
Yeah. See, folks, now you know why we've missed Rich. He's always right up there. Rich, thank you for being here. Good to talk to you.
Nice to be with you, my friend.
Well, it's great to talk to you, and I'll tell you, folks, I got to say that, you know, Rich doesn't have to be where he is. Of course, actually, none of the people in Iraq, none of the folks in Iraq have to be where they are. They're all volunteers, but Rich is an exceptional volunteer, and Rich, I'm really proud of you. I want you to tell the audience exactly what it is your job is in Iraq.
Here's my job. There's a lot of pieces that go on that you sort of collect as you go, but my principal job is to help bring the non-police blotter news to Middle America. So I don't deal with ABC. I deal with the ABC affiliate in Montgomery, Alabama. I don't deal with CBS. I deal with the CBS affiliate in Dallas, and we deal with local newspapers. So my job is to take stories that would not make the nightly news because they don't have a broad enough appeal, and cast them in such a way that they are interesting to people in an individual area. And the way we do that, Jim, and this is my small business training to say, okay, this is my product. How do I market it? The way that we do it is we tell the story through the eyes and voice of someone from that town. So, for as an example, the very first one we did was a video of the Iraqi police learning how to shoot their 9mm pistols on a pistol range here in Baghdad. Well, nobody in America much cares about that. I mean, they might think it's modestly interesting, but no TV station is going to waste, you know, a minute 40 seconds.
It doesn't have that wow factor, does it?
Except that the guy that was running the range was a sergeant first class from San Diego, California. And so we offered it to the San Diego, California TV stations, and of course they took it. I mean, here was video an interview with on camera with a young man from their area, and it happened to be something he was doing had to do with guns and things like that. But it didn't matter. He could have been running a water plant.
Right.
So what I do is we go out and we shoot video and we get interviews with folks from around the country, and then we market it. We satellite it back to Washington D.C. And then we market it to the appropriate television market, and off we go. And then the other thing we just started doing, apropos this phone call, is we've gotten people to start calling their hometown radio stations. Because, you know, we forget here that I'm sitting in what we call the green zone in Baghdad, and I go out a lot. I go out to Tikrit and Al Ramadi and Hilla and all these places that nobody knows where they are. And some of them are somewhat dangerous, but when we're sitting in Baghdad, we think, well, this is kind of boring. Who would care that we're in Baghdad? But guess what? If you're in Columbus, Ohio, and I'm from Columbus, and I call you, and you're running a radio station, having somebody on the phone from Baghdad is as close to the pointy end of the stick as they got to be.
That's right. Yeah.
So,
exactly.
But my point is that the point for the audience is that it was the small business training that I've had over the years running my column.
Well, we've trained you well here on this show too, Rich.
Yes, you have indeed. You have aimed me in the right direction more than once.
Rich, tell us about what's happening there in Iraq right now.
Well,
how is it going?
There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot going on. Yesterday was a pretty rough day. Yesterday we lost about six soldiers from the 82nd Airborne.
Yep.
And two CNN employees were killed. It was a tough day, but that happily doesn't happen every day, and as far as I know, today has been fairly calm.
That's happening less and less now, isn't it?
It is happening less and less, but they're getting more sophisticated. We now think that Al-Qaeda has moved in, so they will do things like target journalists because they know that will get them
right.
get them higher news.
The way they targeted the way they targeted the UN folks.
Exactly right. And this morning I went over and paid a condolence call on the CNN folks that are here, and it was tough. It was, we lost our chief of staff in our little organization when the attack on the Al Rashid Hotel happened. He was the only person killed, so he knew what they were going through.
How close
but,
were you?
You know, that happened.
How close were you when that happened, Rich?
No, I hadn't gotten here yet. Unfortunately, I missed him. He was a very good guy, but I have been rocketed, mortared, and shot at since I've been here. This is a dangerous place to be. It's
and you're wearing a protective vest, aren't you, most of the time?
Oh, yes. I have three different versions, depending upon what I'm doing, and I have the helmet, and you can't, you know, it's too dangerous to not take it all seriously. Today, when we went out to go visit with the CNN people, they've even given me a gun, if you can imagine such a thing. I had to qualify for it.
Wow.
And else. But
that's a little scary, Rich.
No, I was a pretty good shot when I was in the military. And it's like riding a bike, it turns out. But we had four guys in the car, and all of us had weapons, and off we went. But we all had our protective vests on, and two of us were in helmets. Two chose not to because it's
Rich. We would like to think that Iraq is becoming less violent, less dangerous.
It is becoming less violent, less dangerous. We happen to have led with this kind of stuff because it's on my mind again. Because yesterday was a tough day, but. While that's all happening, as an example, a guy who's become a great friend of mine, a guy named Michael Fleischer, is one of the senior people in the organization that is not privatizing public, like not privatizing the steel company, but is specifically responsible for helping Iraqis start small businesses. That's what he does for a living.
Right.
And guess what? This guy made a gajillion dollars as a investment banker in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And one day he just literally pulled the sheets up over the furniture and said, I think I need to go there and help.
Wow.
And he's here. And he lived in the dormitory for 2 weeks until he got a trailer. And, you know, he's extraordinarily wealthy guy and doesn't care.
He wants to get out there and help.
So
give him a high five for me, would you?
I will do that. I mean, he's just a terrific guy. But he's not alone. I mean, we have both military and civilian people that are doing that all the time. And on this drive over to CNN this morning, and we were talking about the fact that commerce is abundant in Baghdad, and you know Baghdad alone is a town of 5.5 million people.
Rich, I've known Iraqis for almost 20 years. They're very entrepreneurial people, aren't they?
Mm. Exactly right. Exactly what I was going to say next. And
yeah.
The spirit of entrepreneurialism is like the spirit of life. It will not be denied.
And also. The Iraqi people, ladies and gentlemen, are very literate. These people are not illiterate like some countries in the Middle East. They're very literate. Stand by, Rich. We've got to take a quick break. It's 20 after. We'll be right back with our good friend Rich Galen reporting live from Baghdad in Iraq. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, and we're visiting with our good friend Rich Galen, who is in Iraq, in Baghdad, at this moment, actually. And he's given us an underground report of what's going on out there. He's our man in Iraq. And Rich,
our man,
you know,
in
folks,
Baghdad.
Folks can still subscribe to your newsletter, right?
They can get it. They're not allowed to pay for it.
I am now
a Department of Defense employee, so I can't earn a living doing that. But I urge people to go to mullings.com and take a look. What I'm doing is I'm writing about a weekly sort of just travelogue about what I'm seeing. And
It includes pictures, too, folks.
Yeah, a lot of pictures, yeah. And, well, I mean, the one I did last week, not this past week, but the week before that, you know, going back to some of the stuff that's going on, I led a team, a kind of a multidisciplinary team way, way down south, to investigate a mass grave with all this business about weapons of mass destruction that we're hearing about again, which, by the way, is not a phrase that anybody here ever uses. And the reason, Jim, is that the chief weapon of mass destruction was Saddam Hussein.
Mm-hmm.
He killed over 200,000 people within a two-year period.
Wait a minute. 200,000 people in 2 years?
Yeah, in 87 and 88.
Wow.
It's just unbelievable, and the misery. I mean, it's just beyond comprehension what he did to this country, which, as you point out, is a country of great wealth, great natural wealth, great human wealth, and great literacy. But you know what he did? He not only didn't build the infrastructure, He stole the money that was supposed to be used for that, and these,
yeah.
these Saddam palaces are everywhere. I mean, these ridiculously gaudy palaces are everywhere you turn. All that oil for food money that everybody thought was
it didn't
was
go
being
to food,
used,
did it?
No, it went to Saddam yeah. and his sons, and not only that, but what happened then is that the infrastructure was allowed to absolutely decay. So while you know in the West we hear that well you know water supplies aren't as good and energy supplies aren't good. No. There's more water, cleaner water than there was before.
More electricity.
And it's more stable.
What about
stable
schools?
Tens of thousands of schools have been opened around the country. We have photo after photo after photo of these young American servicemen and women. And let me talk about that for a second. These kids, Jim, just make you weep with joy.
And they're all volunteers, Rich. Let's not forget
well,
that.
Well, there's no draft. No draft.
They're
Everybody
all volunteers.
Who's here, they may not want to be here particularly, but neither did they. I once quoted... I found a letter home from a Roman soldier who was in Brittany, which would later became London, complaining about the fact that he wanted to go home. So this has been going on for some time. But you, when you get around these kids, and I get to do this a lot. I mean, you're so thrilled that they're out here doing. And you know what? They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're smart. They're educated. I'm talking about our young men and women.
Yes.
They know why they're here. They understand what they're doing, and they will put up with anything as long as somebody's not getting away with something they're getting. They just do it, men and women alike. It's just amazing.
What about the Iraqi people? How are they? What's their attitude in general? As you've traveled around the country, large parts of this country,
Yeah. Now
you haven't just been holed up in Baghdad. So,
mm-mm.
And you spent quite a bit of time in the Sunni Triangle, where it's the most dangerous.
Indeed.
What are the Iraqi people? What are they saying to you about Americans and about the fact that we're there?
Well, it's a two-edged sword, and this will not surprise anybody if you think about it. On the one hand, they're thrilled that we're here because they know that without us, the country would collapse, and the Syrians would race in from one side, the Iranians would race in from the other side, and the Turks would come in from the north, and it would just be unbelievable chaos, and their country would probably disappear into three parts. So they want us to stay here. They want us to be here. They know that we are their only hope. Against terrorism.
Of course, they also know we're the reason that Saddam is gone.
Oh yeah, oh that's a big deal. But on the other hand, they're a little weary of seeing soldiers and having to stop at checkpoints. And I mean, if you got to do this, I mean, it's a very wearing existence when every time you turn around you got to stop and show your ID. I mean, we wouldn't like it either. But I have had very very few occasions where somebody, was aggressively unfriendly to me. Not.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody shot at me once, but I didn't see them, so I don't know what they were saying before they did it. But
they probably weren't Iraqis, though.
Yeah, they're probably right. But for the most part, people either ignore you because they're not sure about what's going to happen, or especially the kids. The kids wave and they give you the thumbs up sign. They love Army stuff like kids anywhere. And they know that we are their hope. The other, you know, what I got to do Monday. What's today? Today's Wednesday. Yeah, Monday morning I got to teach a class in democracy to 80 women.
Wow.
Down in Hilla, and these are women who they weren't veiled. A few were veiled, but they all had their heads covered. They were all in robes. They weren't like young kind of Western mm-hmm. aggressive young women.
Right.
And I would guess that they all ranged from 35 years old on up. These are women who are going to have an active role in running mm-hmm. their country, and that means as they move through the process, they will have an active role in running the economy. And this is going to make this country. Just explode because they are going to use all of their human resources.
Rich, I've got 30 seconds. I've got 30 seconds. When will Iraqis control Iraq?
Oh, Iraqis will control Iraq at midnight on June 30th. That's pretty much set in stone. We will probably be here for a couple of years, maybe 3 or 4 years, whatever it is. But, we've been in Germany since World War II,
yeah,
so that's been
Japan.
A long time. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and,
hey, Rich,
I said...
Hey, Rich, I've got to wrap it up, but will you do this again real soon?
You bet. You guys call me, and if I can fit it in, we'll do it again.
We're going to do it. Rich, I want to say something right now, folks. Rich, I am so proud of you. You're a great American. I'm proud of you.
Well, I'm proud of you, too, because you're going to donate to the cause here real soon. I know that, and I'm praying for you.
Thanks. I'm really proud of his leadership, folks. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, Mullings.com. Check it out. Subscribe to his free letter. You get something every week, and I think you'll like it. Quick break. Right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.